Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
It is Spotsylvania County Schools this morning. We welcome back to the program Dr. Scott Baker, the school superintendent. Dr. Carol Flanard is the deputy superintendent and the chief academic officer, and Renee Daniels here, the Director of Communications and Community Involvement. Good morning and welcome to all of you. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, it is, Dr. Baker, when you were last here, you and Dr. Flanard were here, you still were in virtual. The hybrid has been in place, and all things considered, at least to me, in looking from just not only the outside, I sort of have an inside look at least one school. Everything is going well.
Yeah, I think that, and I've shared this in some communications, Ted. Thank you for saying that. I think it's defining success is a little bit different right now as far as what we feel good about. I think what we feel really good about is that we've been able to have our kids, many of our kids, back in our schools. And I think some of the feedback that we've received is that we've been able to maintain pretty well some continuity in the transition. It's not perfect by any means, but I keep saying over and over again, I'm just so proud of our entire team, our staff, our transportation department, our maintenance staff. We just have a lot of folks that have come together to make this possible. And even though it's never perfect, what we really do feel good about is that so far we've been able to have 2.5 weeks of in-person learning. Yeah. And we hope that we can sustain that over time.
I have heard from so many parents that have said to have their kids back in school and at all levels, that it's good to have them back and that they seem to be thriving.
Yeah, most of the feedback I think we've received is they do appreciate that opportunity, and they have. We actually had a parent advisory meeting last night, and I think we received some really good feedback, and they just continued to compliment the teachers, and just I think that many parents it's always appreciated the teachers, but the level of contact and I think understanding of what the teachers and the schools are navigating and how challenging this is, I think they really are viewed in a heroic fashion right now.
Dr. Flanard, I had somebody from another school system said to me that they thought with teachers, the hardest thing that this person has had to deal with in working with teachers is that teachers are perfectionists. And she said, I've had to work with teachers and say, there's no perfectionism this year. We're just we're all learning every day.
We really are learning every day. And in every aspect of the organization, we're learning every single day how to really meet our students' needs and to make sure that as a system, we're providing the professional learning that is not only timely, but it's really specific to what our teachers need. And that does vary by age. It varies by technology, whether they're in virtual or in person. So sometimes the schedule drives what's needed for professional learning, but really providing that individualized support for teachers is just paramount right now.
To see in the afternoon buses in my neighborhood again, mm-hmm. That was really good to see. Even though there were hardly any people on the bus, but to have them stop and have kids get out and have them have their backpacks on and everything, that was a couple weeks ago when that first happened. That was really good to see.
I completely agree. I was joking with Dr. Baker that on the way to work, I got stuck behind a bus, and I was so excited to get stuck behind a bus. It was thrilling.
I had that same thought. I was behind one, and I thought, and usually it would be like, why didn't I take the other street and I could have missed this? And I thought, I really don't mind this.
No, it was wonderful to see the buses out and the kids' faces. And it's just a joy because it's what we do. That's why we exist as an organization is kids. And so to really have them back has just been heartwarming and just a thrill for all of us.
Well, and you think of where you've come from, what it was in the spring and even the summer when Dr. Baker, you and I, when we were talking about and really not knowing how it was going to go together, to have it working and to have it, like you say, working, everyone has different different thoughts about working, but to have it, to have a plan and to be following through on it, it's got to feel good for all of you.
Yeah, I think that that was something that folks have asked, how have you been able to do it? And I think humbly, the way we've been able to do it is to really just continue to work that plan. And that means making adjustments both prior to starting and even as we are in motion. We are constantly trying to get a pulse of what's working and where we need to provide additional support. You know, human resource capacity right now is an ongoing challenge. And I'm sure, as we'll probably discuss later, with, you know, just the impact of this virus on people having to be quarantined or you have cases out in the community, it's really been about having to take a system approach, but really setting the parameters and the conditions, but really working with each individual school to work the plan in a way that really makes sense for their students and it is feasible. And so far we've been, again, knock on wood, we've been really pleased with the efforts and again, hoping we can continue to sustain that.
Well, in watching the World Series game last night, when in the eighth inning a player had to be taken off the field for the Dodgers, mm-hmm. because he had tested positive, and I thought this is the world we live in, and you can't expect that there aren't going to be no cases, but by separating everybody and doing all that you can, and cleaning the schools, you are able to keep people safe.
Yeah, I think that. So far, we received again some feedback last night. We're going to continue to talk. I have a group of students that I'm meeting with today. We are meeting with today, and so what we've heard is that, and what we've observed is that our students and teachers are doing a really good job in maintaining those conditions and following the guidelines and the strategies that we had put in place to mitigate any spread or exposure. But what we continue to stress is there are things that are going to be outside of our control, and that is what happens within our own school communities, what happens in our state in terms of the virus, mm-hmm. and we just have to be prepared to be responsive and take whatever precautions we need to.
Dr. Flaherty, are the teachers by and large happy to be back? I know my wife is.
Well, that's great to hear. And the teachers are very excited to see their kids, too. They absolutely embrace it. That's why they got into teaching.
Yeah.
But I will be very candid to say that everybody is working so hard. And so there are folks that are need a breath and need a weekend and need an opportunity to come down a little bit. And so as a system, we are consistently and trying to maintain taking care of yourself and making sure that there's self-care so that you can get back in, really, really to jump back on board on Monday morning or and even the Wednesdays, being able to meet with each other as teams, to be able to dialogue about what's working and what's not working. It really is about self-care so that you can then care for others.
It's interesting you say that, because I know in my world, at all times of the day and night, I'll hear things like, hear these conversations of, well, if you go over to that, go over to the right-hand part of your screen and press, look for that, and look for that. It's on weekends and all times. There are discussions or just working. So it is a lot of work for a lot of people.
It really is, and I think that if we make sure that the first thing we do as a school system is take care of one another and take care of each other and take care of our kids and take care of the adults, then that, as that foundation, allows us to move forward with instruction.
We're talking Spotsylvania County Schools this morning. Dr. Carol Flanard, Dr. Scott Baker, and Renee Daniels here this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shue.
It's Spotsylvania County Schools this morning. Dr. Baker, Dr. Flanard, and Renee Daniels here this morning talking about what is going on. The hybrid is in place. Boy, Dr. Baker, for the other schools in the area are getting ready to do these kinds of things, but you've done it, and in this, the immediate area, you and Louisa have done it, and you did it in a way that as I look around the state and see how things are doing, how schools are doing, and a lot of people are doing it piecemeal, you jumped right in.
Well, I think you said we did it we're doing it. You know, it's present tense. We're continuing to work through it. And I actually had a similar question from another media affiliate about, you know, any advice. And so I always say, out of true humility, every school system has its own unique challenges. I think we have some universal challenges, but we also have unique challenges to our areas, to our school systems. For example, we are probably the largest school system in the state to have pre-K to 12 in-person learning going on, albeit hybrid. We are, that was a challenge. And I think one of the ways that we just prepared all along to launch it at the same time. So I think our building of that plan, and I think the board's decision to go with the first 9 weeks of distance only, I think gave us a little bit of time to kind of work that rather than needing to kind of just phase in one grade level at a time. But I have said over and over, it really comes down to the quality of our people. We are not mighty in numbers when you consider our size, especially administrative staff, but folks really have come together. And I think you create a belief in the culture that we can do it. And I think some of that was bred from the fact that a lot of people felt like we really had a good first quarter with distance learning. And I think Dr. Fournard mentioned the professional learning. I think, and this is probably something that is hard to put your finger on, but I think we as leaders have to constantly be in touch with how people are feeling, how they are responding, and trying to be as responsive to those needs as we possibly can. And by no means is it perfect, and is everybody happy, but I think that one of the ways we've done it is to stick to a plan. And I credit our school board for really in increments just saying, here's what we're going to do, here's how we're going to support you and your plan. And I think by sticking to it and not having too many changes in direction, I think that enabled us to get our feet, you know, in launching this over the past few weeks.
And you and Dr. Florin have mentioned it a little bit this morning. We tend to just look at the teachers, but just the system wide, and you think about the people that are cleaning the buildings, and what an important thing that is, and just how valuable all of a sudden I think people are noticing that that those workers are so valuable. Anyway, we're seeing it now.
Every single employee at every single level has been critical. And I think you mentioned our custodians, you know, our bus drivers. Yeah. Every staff member that we have, our food service staff, if you think about the meals that we've been really providing since the pandemic started and continuing to do that both for in-person and virtual kids, it's truly been, you know, heroic. But I will say that there is a sometimes there's a misconception that when you don't have, you know, full in-person learning 5 days a week, which is what you have traditionally, that you don't need as many people or as many resources. And what we've tried to share is that we actually need more in order to make this work, because the demands on cleanliness, the demands on resources are different, and they're actually have increased over time with this pandemic.
If a year ago, Dr. Flanard, if this were October 28th, 2019, and I had said this, you know, this is what you're going to be dealing with, you just think of how far we've come in even the terminology that we're using and that schools use. I just would have just said that could never happen.
That's correct. We probably wouldn't be talking about the difference between asynchronous and synchronous learning.
Yeah, I had never heard that term before.
That's right. Because it was all synchronous learning. Everybody was in and we were learning together and we were doing it. I think some of the positives that we are really experiencing, and I always believe it's important to look at the things that aren't going well, but what are the positives so you can emulate those in the future? And so I think that we have seen there is a pocket of students, different types of students, that are thriving with distance learning. So how do we take that and how do we learn from that to then say, what does it look like when we're beyond this moment? Because there are students that were struggling or were difficult to reach that are very engaged in this distance learning model of the hybrid. And so we need to capitalize on that to make sure that we are reaching all of our students.
That's interesting, and I'm sure that's those are things that you talk with teachers about, and you are able to put a lot of this together. And you know, who knows at the end what comes out of this?
Absolutely, and even sometimes, occasionally, if you had a student that misbehaved, it was more difficult to keep them engaged with learning, but not anymore. We have figured out distance learning, so now we can say, oh, you still have an opportunity to continue your path of learning.
And I would think also with this, it's in a lot of cases, teachers are more connected with parents in some cases.
We have absolutely heard that from our teachers. We've heard that from our students. And actually, we even continued to hear that last night. We have heard the response from our parents say that communication has increased and it has helped them help their own children to not only navigate the situation, but to, in some cases, thrive instructionally.
Well, and in a lot of cases, I'm sure with a lot of families, I know it was my case. It was just, you know, send your kids off to school and the teachers will take care of it. Now there is more of that. It'll be interesting when this is over and as things start going on, if all of a sudden you see parents more involved in their local school.
Absolutely. We even have some things, and I would encourage folks to look at our website that under the Parents tab, there is a Learning from Home website that we created, and there's actually tools on there that parents can have access to Canvas, which is one of the learning management systems that our students use, and they can have parent access to things that they did not have access to before. So it's really helped parents support their child's education and really get to know what they're doing at a much, much finer level, at a more gradient level.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Ted, too, I think we have on that tab that Dr. Fonard is referencing, we've launched this year something new called our Family Connection Webinars, and that has been really a result of knowing that all of our families are experiencing, you know, unprecedented challenges in their homes. And as vital partners, we want to help support them in helping us educate their kids. And so there we've already had two of them. One was really dedicated to what Dr. Fonard was sharing about navigating all the different resources for parents with distance learning and helping them to feel like they can support their kids at various levels. But we also just had one on mental health for kids and families going through this, because we're at a time where you're having seasonal depression, and now I'm hearing the term pandemic depression. So those kinds of those things are kind of converging at the same time. So we did have a recent webinar that, and parents can go and access that and rewatch it. The link is there, and it was really some of our counseling staff just talking about strategies, and they were very open and transparent about things they even do for themselves and their own families and kids to try to, you know, be as positive and as productive during this difficult time as possible.
And we've talked about this really since you and I started talking about this last summer, about how it is important for parents, even if they're struggling with this, to at least in talking with your family and talking with your kids, be as positive as you can. You can be realistic also, but you don't always have to be. How you present this to your kids, I think, would play a big role.
Absolutely. And I think you mentioned this too. It used to be that it was sort of a handoff, you know, during the school day, and that school was a certain number of hours during the day. Mm-hmm. And now we have more of we're really in this kind of 24/7 together. And I know that I have had kind of two overarching goals through this. And one is to try to keep our school communities together. And I mean, literally becoming closer rather than becoming further apart. And the second thing is that we have an opportunity, and shame on us if we don't, to try to transform in a positive way what we're doing in public education. That through this, we may find that we are better able to engage with families permanently, that we're better able to partner with them, and that maybe we're going to be transformed to better meet the whole child needs as well as the many equity gaps that we have. So I do think that you know, our parent connection is something that we believe is actually getting stronger right now, rather than, it's funny, you're at a distance and you're becoming closer. But that is the sense that I have so far through this.
I think in large part, just talking as you have all come in, I understand. I don't know that I ever really fully understood just the difference between whether you're in a rural area and don't have the connection, whether you've got special needs children. And there are so many, this with what you've had to do, Dr. Flanard, and put all this together, it's not just a one size fits all, and here's what we do. You have all of these little kind of subsets within a school also.
We certainly do, and we welcome and honor our diversity as a school system. Yeah. It's one of our greatest strengths. But I do believe that it goes back to Dr. Baker's comment about communication with parents and letting us know how their students are experiencing their school day, wherever that may be. And I think one of the successes we had was bringing in some of our students with disabilities in September, mm-hmm. and allowing them to really acclimate our most neediest population and acclimate to the structure, the routines, the schedule itself, and found success with that. So then when we moved to hybrid, it was very seamless. From the feedback from our parents, certainly there are bumps, and certainly we are continuing to navigate, but that would be typical in any school year. We want to make sure that our parents are telling us how their students are experiencing their education. But one of the challenges also, I think, that you alluded to was the connectivity. Spotsylvania County is a large school system, and it's a large county in and of itself, and so some of our more rural parts don't necessarily have access to the internet. And so we ran into a bit of a hiccup with just the actual system itself, and making sure we can get hotspots for our kids. But they're in, we have them. We do still have a couple left. So if we have parents that are still needing some connectivity, we still can support that need. And so far there's about 700 that have been put out there. So we do have a couple more that we can certainly help families with, but it has been so far so good. It has worked well.
Well, and just even getting Chromebooks, because at the time I didn't thought about it last summer, but you and everyone else needed Chromebooks.
The industry has been having a difficult time keeping up with the demand, and that is not unique to Spotsylvania County for sure. And so just recently we started to receive our typical summer replacement. That shipment has started to come in, so hopefully that's a sign that the industry is starting to really keep up and or really catch up with the demand. We have not currently received the 8,500 that we ordered in July yet, but we're seeing some signs of positivity, so we're hoping that it continues.
Yet. We are talking Spotsylvania County Schools this morning. Dr. Carol Flanard is here, Dr. Scott Baker, and Renee Daniels. And I will say, before we take the break, you two and the staffs and everybody is just to be commended with all of this, and especially you two over the years, but especially in this, the care that you both have shown for not only the staff but the students. It's been remarkable, and I personally say thank you.
Thank you.
More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking Spotsylvania County Schools this morning. Dr. Scott Baker is here along with Dr. Carol Flanard and Renee Daniels. Renee, we haven't heard from you, but you are here, and you're providing from your end, just to keep the community informed, and even within schools. I'm sure this has been a challenge for what you do in communications.
Absolutely, we're really focused on making sure our community is engaged and knows what's going on. We have different things we're doing this year with Dr. Baker's message going out weekly, not only to our parents, but also our staff, and keeping them engaged and knowing what's going on and the pulse of what's going on during this whole pandemic and how we're progressing with Return to Learn. So that's been really important. And the feedback we received yesterday at the parent advisory meeting was just wonderful. Parents really appreciate all the communication we're doing. So we're going to keep doing that and try to make sure that we're not only engaging our parents and our staff, but also our community citizens and our businesses. They have been so supportive this year. We've had to do things differently. We weren't able to do the big Stuff the Bus event because obviously that's a large gathering. And so our community has just really come together to support and providing donations that have helped our students and families.
Dr. Baker, you've done, we've often talked about how you meet with students and have lunch with them. I guess not. I guess that's kind of had to go away, too.
Yeah, so far this year, I haven't been doing the in-person lunches. You know, I mentioned that I have a group that I'm meeting with today, my student advisory team, and that has been one way that we try to gauge those, you know, kind of how students are navigating this new world. But I do try to still go to our schools and visit and engage with students that way. But I think it's important, too, that in the end, I think in leadership, we have to remember it should not be about us. We should be there to support. And so I don't want to model anything that I wouldn't expect everyone else to be doing. So, but I do think that as we move forward, I am hoping to get out and engage even more with students and even at a distance and they seem so excited, like we were saying earlier, when you go in, they are glad to be there. And so I've talked to a number of students in classrooms, but I think for the time being, it may not be in the lunch setting.
Yeah. Spotsylvania County Schools got a great recognition a couple of weeks ago, and as far as being a great employer, which I thought spoke very well and kind of backs up a lot of the things that you've over the years have talked about.
Well, it was a really nice shot in the arm for us as a school system, because and sometimes I'm not probably good enough about this as I need to be. We don't promote ourselves externally very often, but this was something we didn't apply for, but when we learned that that research had been done and that we were among the top 100, and actually we were number 37 in the entire state, and of the school divisions we ranked number 4 of the 10 that were a part of that top 100, we really took great pride in that, and not because of just us at the leadership level. But I think intentionally we've tried over the years to build a culture where, as large as one of the larger school systems in the state, that our people feel as though they are connected, that they are a family, and that they have multiple kinds of supports to do their best work. And so it was really great to receive that, and something that we don't take for granted. We want to continue to emulate that, to build on that, but it was certainly something that we were excited to be able to share.
Now, like you say, it's really, I would think, a shot in the arm for the school system, with all that you've been through with all of this, it was a great recognition.
Well, and I do think that again, we're by no means perfect, and when you have over 3,000 employees, and I'm sure social media would pick this up, that not everyone's happy all the time. So we don't mean all this means that we're a perfect employer. But I do think that we put our students and our people first. You know, whenever we're making decisions, when we're thinking about our planning, very similar to what we've been talking about earlier, with looking at the whole employee, just like we look at the whole child, mm-hmm. that you're not just here to sign a contract and go and do a job and that's all we care about. We really do try to demonstrate and genuine care for the people who work alongside us. And so we're going to continue to do that. But I think especially during this time, it was really nice to receive that and then to, I guess, try to translate that into even more action on behalf of our employees. And for example, I just, you know, really long for the opportunity to demonstrate our care for them better in terms of compensation, in terms of additional resources, and we'll continue to work towards that. It's a challenge, but the fact that that's not why people do it, mm-hmm. I think also speaks to the kind of people that we have in this organization.
Dr. Flarnert, in speaking of when Dr. Baker just talked about signing a contract for a first year teacher, how has it been for first year teachers this year? Because I can't imagine what this must be like.
It actually really leveled the playing field for first year teachers. In some of the first year teachers that I've had an opportunity to speak with, they actually gained more confidence. Because some of them shared things like, I felt really good about the technology aspect, and I could help my seasoned teachers with that piece. And so they felt and gained a little bit more confidence, got their feet under them a little bit easier maybe. And so they just felt great about that, and it gave them, as Ms. Daniel said, a shot in the arm. And so they then got a little bit more confident and then said, okay, we can do this. So that was one of the unique experiences that this has brought that I thought was a positive.
I never thought of that, but you're right. It would all of a sudden endear you, and you'd feel part of the team in that school to be able to help people in those kind of ways.
And a very important part of that team. So that instead of that becoming like, well, maybe I shouldn't speak right now, or let me just listen more, they felt very equipped to be able to add value to the conversation and say, okay, this might be the content that we're teaching, but here's how we could approach that, because I know this technology or that platform could really enhance and brought a lot of expertise to the table that was very needed at the time.
Yeah, and after this, I mean, the stories that first-year teachers are going to be able to tell, of everyone will be able to understand. The other on the other end of things, I have seen cases of teachers I know that are just subs, older teachers that have retired but still are involved in subs. And I know at the beginning they talked about, I don't think I can do this, and they have done it, and they have felt great confidence, and they're posting pictures from the school, and they're happy. And so I guess it all ends. But for everybody, I mean, once you figure it out, and I think that was part of, everybody was so nervous, and rightfully so at the beginning, but as you see more and more confidence with everybody.
Absolutely. I recall one of our more seasoned teachers saying that all of the trees will be happy because she has learned and will go paperless from now on, because she learned so much and sees the value in collaborating in a different way, and has really just invigorated her in a whole different way in teaching after having taught for over 20 years. So it's exciting.
And I think, too, just even some workplaces have changed. Here we have someone in elementary school, and he does his work in the mornings in an office, and there's a sign up that says, you know, class going on. And I'm sure that is repeated in a lot of different areas where that has to be done, where the kids go to work with their parents.
Absolutely. We've seen students at work. We've seen parents next to them at the kitchen table. We have seen a grandfather walking by getting coffee in the morning. So, yeah. And it really is just an opportunity to have school be part of their everyday lives. I think that you mentioned earlier that it just looks different, and it really has provided an opportunity for the community to be part of the education system. And in some ways, parents have had a window into what's happening in their classrooms at a finer level than they've ever had, and has really allowed more dialogue around their kitchen table. I noticed when you were doing this today, and just enhanced that whole opportunity.
Now, I have learned, and I used to, when my kids were younger, I would go, when they were in elementary school, I'd go have lunch with them and things, and I always thought I understood some things, and I've seen just from the teacher end of things now, of things that go on in the classroom, and just the preparation, the teachers, it's not like a teacher just shows up, that when the bell rings in the afternoon, they come home and then they go back. I think I have seen, especially this year, just the preparation is so much more than I could have ever imagined.
It certainly is, especially when you think about, just in anyone's job, you have certain files that you've gone to, or certain ways that you have created routines and structures as you have done your work. And teaching is the same way. If you're approaching a certain content and you've taught for a while, you certainly evaluate, okay, what will work from this file, what would not work, and how do I tweak that for these students in front of me. But now, in this space, there was no file to go to. There was no, I can just do what I've done and tweaked. Now it's reinventing. And
everything.
So that is reinventing across the board, pre-K through 12, everything. So the amount of work that that takes is tremendous. And so we absolutely honor what everyone has, just the effort everyone has put into making this work.
Dr. Baker, I know you watch, everybody watches what other school systems do. Do area superintendents talk and kind of this is working or this isn't working kind of thing?
Yeah, I would say that probably over the last 7 or 8 months that the collaboration between superintendents and just like we're seeing at the school division level has increased, you know, exponentially. But not just about talking shop, about really getting into the kind of the same work. You know, so we have some universal challenges, but in traditional school years, everybody may be navigating something a little bit different. But right now, we're kind of all navigating the same thing. So we have, whether it's through our regional superintendent meetings or even, I know our state superintendent holds, I think, biweekly webinars with superintendents and administrative staff across the state. And so I think that has been something that's been really common. And I'm hoping that'll also be, a byproduct beyond this, is that we continue to work together. Because, I humbly, we learn from each other. We learn from the work. And I think there's no superintendent I know that won't say, hey, this worked well, or hey, we tried this, and we would say, do it differently now. And I think that's going to only continue as we move forward.
Well, and the other thing with all of this, unlike a snowstorm that you can look ahead and say, a couple of days, we'll be okay, we just don't know. I mean, you don't even know in the fall what it's going to look like.
Yeah, that's probably been kind of the redundant message that I really get tired of delivering, is that this has never ceased to be a fluid environment to lead and learn in. And I think that we, you know, as you're probably hearing, that we may be in store for quite a surge of this virus throughout our nation, but certainly most states, including ours, we have to watch that very closely. And the new CDC guidelines are making the contact tracing process is a little more in-depth, a little more comprehensive and challenging. And so, you know, there are going to be situations where we're going to have to probably in the future consider the impact of cases, not just from the health standpoint, but from the human capacity to deliver services. If we have too many of our staff and students that are actually either quarantined or needing to be at a distance. So that's something that unfortunately is creating more of that uncertainty about what the future is going to look like. And I think that's one of the reasons we had a degree of urgency about making the transition at the end of the first quarter, was the idea of January does not look any clearer now in terms of what the conditions will be to open up in a hybrid or in-person model than it did a few weeks ago. So, it's a day in, day out kind of execution, and each week we evaluate, and we're just going to continue to do that.
Dr. Scott Baker is here along with Dr. Carol Flanard and Renee Daniels. Spotsylvania County Schools, our focus. We'll take a break and wrap this up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking Spotsylvania County Schools this morning. Renee Daniels, Dr. Carol Flanard, and Dr. Scott Baker here this morning. Renee, as far as the communication end of it and keeping people informed, one of the things we talked a little bit about a little bit earlier in the show was meals and how those are available.
Yes, absolutely. We are very fortunate that the USDA did approve for extension of the meal distribution that are free for all of our students regardless of your income status. And we are, when we went to hybrid, that did change a little bit. So we are actually distributing meals on Wednesday. So today is actually the day that our families could go out and pick up meals. And we're doing it at 13 sites. And those sites are on our website. And we're doing it from 8 to 4. And then we've extended other sites, five other sites that go till 7 o'clock to help those parents that are working. And the great thing about it is they're getting 7 days worth of meals, and they're getting breakfast, and they're getting lunch, and they're getting actually a dinner kit and snacks. So we're very fortunate to work with our partner Sodexo to get these meals out to our families. And we've actually distributed over 1 million meals to our families since the pandemic occurred.
Wow. That's, and that, that in itself is just what a spectacular thing that you've been able to do.
Yes, and it's all very important to really thank our food service workers. They have been working so hard mm-hmm. to make these bags, because it's not as easy as just having the kids come through the line and then give them the food. They're actually individually making these bags, and it's really easy for parents. They just drive up, they pick up the bags. The kids don't even have to be with them. They really want to make it easy for people to get these meals for their children.
And I guess, and you talked earlier about just different ways, just communications that parents can have with schools. If they're not getting that, I guess just contact your office and find out where all that can be accessed.
Absolutely. We like for them to call their school first. It's essential that their email be correct.
Okay.
That's and their phone number, so that we can make sure that they're getting those communications. And they just have to call their school and let them know. They can also log into ParentView and change that information as well. But it's really important that they contact their school and update and make sure that their email and phone numbers are correct. Another thing that we're doing differently this year is, obviously, we have forms that need to be signed, and we are using DocuSign, and that's something new this year. So our parents are not necessarily sure about that, but it's very simple to use. So if they do get a DocuSign email, that process is very easy for them to sign documents that are needed by the schools.
Every area, because you mentioned the food workers and all the others that we have talked about this morning, everybody's involved.
And Ted, too, another unsung group of heroes led by our director of health services are our school nurses. I don't know if anyone, that's a very difficult job in a traditional year with traditional viruses and normal challenges. And I just can't, we are so fortunate to have a registered nurse for every building. We have folks who help in terms of subbing. But Alex Wilmer, our director of health services, I don't know if folks realize that right now the process of being a liaison and interacting with the health department on a daily basis to try to manage, case management and contact tracing is really a 24/7 situation. And so I just want to acknowledge their tremendous efforts as well.
Dr. Scott Baker, Dr. Carol Fennard, Renee Daniels, great to have you here. Thanks for your time, and we'll stay in touch. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
That's it for Town Talk. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.